Action Park Media.
Alright, welcome to Victory the Podcast. I'm Doug Ellen.
Kevin Dillon.
Kevin Connolly, ready, set, go.
And we got
Chuck is here. I was about to introduce myself.
I was going to try to do a prepared introduction that I'd worked on all night.
Okay, go ahead, Doug.
I would love to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and we don't need to introduce his career as one of the great actors of our youth, Charlie, and our adulthood. Really is, though. But more importantly than that, Charlie's been a friend now for, I don't know, 2+ years. And
is that all? Me and Charlie go way back, bro.
You guys probably go back 30 years.
We go back to
40, probably. I don't know. It can't be 40.
86.
85, 86.
Yeah.
But Dillon and Charlie go back so far. Day trading didn't even exist when you guys first met.
They didn't have TQQ back then. That's for damn sure.
So, but anyway, Charlie has become one of my favorite people in this town. And I want to say one of the easiest people to work with. And I'm hoping.
Thank you, Doug.
And praying, you know, I knew I'd have the Kevins get
really
sensitive.
Really shot you down with that one. Just eyeballing you when he said it.
You know what? It's just, but you know what? And you guys obviously are my favorites. But you know, this business is so stuck with egos and so much nonsense. And when you get someone who's not only just about the work, but also he cares. He cares when he sees me stressed out, which I know you guys do as well. But he's become part of the family already, and we have a great show. We had great meetings last week, and we're excited to see what happens. And hopefully, we'll get some good news any day. So, how you doing, Charlie?
I am well. I'm so flattered by your introduction. Thank
good
you.
Intro, buddy. Good intro.
Not bad.
Good job.
That was lovely.
I don't know, Dillon and I could handle that quite as eloquently as you did, Doug.
Well, you know, they say I'm eloquent. So, you know, last week, Dillon, you missed just a lot of what we do at Connolly's company is for content, but it's also because we do enjoy hanging with each other. So we had a week of pitches, and Connolly drove us to all of them. Connolly didn't want to come to the meeting. It wasn't that he wasn't invited, but he didn't want to. I was here last week, Doug.
We talked about this.
Well, not on the podcast, so we haven't let the world know about it. I don't think it was the pre-interview.
You gave Kevin a pre-interview.
Yeah.
You kind of auditioned with him.
Yeah, I was here. I mean, you know, this is the Action Park Studios. I was there for the rehearsal pitch.
But, so now we can find out what happened in that room.
Yeah,
you didn't pull a Johnny Drama and like flip out or anything.
I don't think so. But Charlie, I mean, we had about 8 meetings, so it was a long week. It's a rough week.
Was it 8 meetings? You guys had 8?
Yeah, and I dragged Charlie around to all of them, which I know, again, you are so amazing in the room, but I know you don't love the idea of all of that and having to sing for our supper like Dillon said.
But
we had a good time. I mean, it was fun. Right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was exciting. And it's just having to stay neutral in the downtime of the unknown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really difficult, and that's, you know, this podcast, which hopefully is entertaining, but it's also, we try to inform people of what the business is, and, you know, there is so much downtime for us, which always is difficult and stressful, but, you know, we prepared, and Kevin Connolly was there to, you know, we had one pitch day in the rain, which is so horrible in L.A., but Connolly carried an umbrella for Charlie.
Listen, they're both these guys' hair. They look so good. I wasn't going to have them walking in there looking like wet dogs.
Great hair. Look at Charlie. He's got the best hair in Hollywood.
Amazing hair.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Doug's got a nice coif, too, and he's not wearing his hat.
You know, sadly, I had to pay like $30,000 for my head, but I'm getting there.
So money well spent?
I have a question. So, Charlie,
money well spent, Doug?
I think so, but it's not. It doesn't look like yours, but it's, you know, better than mine
was. Grown all the way in yet, so we'll
That's
see.
That's true. I might look like Charlie soon. Go ahead.
Let's call the actual pitch 20 minutes. How many times did you, how many playing minutes did you have in that 20 minutes of the pitch?
How many? Oh, you mean like a running back? Like how many?
What was your stat line there? Because I'm obviously Doug's pitching, but were you chiming in with like your, you know, how often did you jump in? Did Doug let you in?
No, Doug let me in, but there's a point when, you know, when someone's on a roll and you can gauge the interest of the party that it's being delivered to, that's when it's just that's when you're just a spectator.
Right.
And it was really cool to be a spectator in those situations, watching you do. Watching you roll out some of that magic.
But Charlie must have threw a couple dime passes.
I was sniping.
You were sniping.
Yeah, out there.
I'll be crystal clear about it. And Charlie, as close as you can.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No, it's good. But I'll be crystal clear about it. The pitches, I would say, averaged closer to 40 minutes than 20, which is long. Which is long for a pitch. And I don't think it was Charlie sitting back and watching me. I really felt like we had a team dynamic. And again, I'm not trying to give anybody anything but the realistic look of what it was. When you have Charlie in the room, you have a star sitting next to you, and you can feel it. And it makes my life a lot easier. I'm not sitting there
going... Can you
imagine
if I was there?
Yeah.
Brought the room down.
But you know what I'm saying. Normally, when you have a pitch, you don't actually have a finished product or an actor with you. So we're talking about a show that we already shot a pilot. We already know what we'd like to do for the first season. And having him there to go... And then... this guy and his father, and I'm talking about Charlie and Martin Sheen, and then Charlie can talk about the real life that they have together and how similar it is to this. It was pretty, I thought it was awesome. I mean, I
had no idea you guys did six of them.
Eight.
Yeah. Wow. Over a couple days.
Yeah.
The main one was in the rain. The main one was in the rain. It was like a horror movie here. It was like dark and raining. It was, oh man.
So you did multiple in one day.
Yes. We did multiple in 3 days. Multiple, 1, 2, 3 days. And I think they all went well. And again, now you...
Some are going to buy it.
And we've gotten responses already?
We've gotten responses. Yeah. We've gotten no passes, which is, I guess,
no passes.
Good thing.
That's good.
And, you know, as I've spoken about before, we're not just asking someone to pay for a screenplay and then they have a year to decide whether they like it. We have a finished show that, again, they could come in and give us ideas how they want to change it if they wanted to change things, like replacing Dylan or something. But, you know, for the most part...
It happened, man.
For the most part, we gave them what they said. We told them the vision for the show, and all of the meetings went very well, for sure. That doesn't mean... anything, I guess. I mean, it does not mean anything. It's better than, oh, thank you for coming in. Like, good luck, you know?
Yeah.
Can I ask, was HBO one of these?
I don't want to talk about who was and who wasn't because, you know.
Yeah, that's the part we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll let the agents handle that and hopefully we get some good news soon. So
we will.
But Doug, it's interesting because it's at least how I prepare or how I try to imagine or envision things playing out in the room. There's the meeting you have in your mind on the way there.
Yeah.
There's the meeting you have that's the actual freaking meeting.
Yeah.
Then there's the meeting you have driving home.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking
yeah.
about, huh, maybe I should have included this. Maybe I should have omitted that. Maybe.
Did you think that? Because I felt, you know, obviously I have those thoughts with me. But I was like... To be honest with you, I was like, thank God Charlie was there. You know, like anytime
I was thinking the same thing about you.
Well, you know what? It's just a love fest here. But the truth is,
this is a really good story. And I have to tell the story about Gary Goldman. Did you hear about Gary Goldman, Kevin?
No. Producer,
so,
Gary Goldman.
So it's raining out. And, you know, we want to get these guys to, you know, we're going to drop them off. We're going to pull up. We're going to drop them off at the door. They don't have to walk across a parking lot. Boom, boom. So Gary says, I'll drive. We get Charlie.
Mistake number one.
Gary and myself in the car, drop these guys off door to door. Gary looks at me. He's like, what should we do? Like, we've got time to kill. Gary's like, I think I need gas. I was like, all right, well, get gas. We're like driving, having this awkward conversation. Gary turns to me and says, I got to give my wife the car back.
What?
I said, what do you mean? I said, when? He said, right now. I said, well, we got to pick up Doug and Charlie. And he said, no, it's gone. She needs her car.
She took it from our meeting?
So I had to race over here, get my car, and shoot back there, ludicrous mode, to pick these guys up. And Doug is in the back seat with my baby seat and Charlie, and we're doing the post-drive meeting.
You left out, though, the drive there, where Gary in the pouring rain, which...
Oh, man.
Anyone, don't exaggerate it. When it rains in L.A., the place feels like the apocalypse. People don't know how to drive. They're right. Scared to death and whatever. But
they
Gary,
still tailgate.
Yeah.
Gary, they still tailgate in the rain.
I think Gary was feeling the weight of the moment. I think
what
was
I think
anxiety.
Was, and Gary, I'm not making fun of you, Gary.
We love Gary.
Dylan's like, what are you talking
about? I'm shocked. shocked that he's like, you can't have my car anymore. I like, drove you to the meeting, and now I'm going to leave you guys.
I got to go.
No, it's gone. By the way, there wasn't a debate or a negotiation.
He's going to be demoted back to first AD, which is what he was originally.
Does he live, like, right across the street?
Yes. He lives close.
Did his wife walk over and get her car back?
All I know is he walked in and said, the car's gone.
And there's nothing
we
can do about
it. He went to get gas. The car's gone. There's nothing to do about it.
Did his wife, offer, hey, you're in the middle of some super important shit. I'm going to take an Uber. Was there anything?
It's a very short conversation. I said, Gary, you got to kick back on that one.
Yeah.
Kick back on that one. We need the car. Exactly. What are we going to do?
Stand up for yourself.
Is there no reason Dylan, Charlie, and myself had been divorced twice? Is there no reason? Is this not like speaking of that? But I also want to say this about Gary, superstar.
Lost your own car.
Has grinded and grinded to help make this show, ended Entourage, ended Kissing a Fool. But Gary Goldman is still, with all the stars he's been around in his life, including you two Emmy nominees, I think Gary was starstruck during the drive over there. Because in the rain, he's talking to Charlie.
He's trying to have a private moment with Charlie. But Doug and I were sitting there.
But he's looking at Charlie like he's on Tesla autopilot, which he wasn't. He's not looking at the road at all.
I hate that.
We did who was looking at the road?
You were.
This guy.
Yeah.
Because you didn't see me in profile, did you?
No.
I was hawking everything that he was doing.
We almost got taken out once. That guy in the alley.
We did one lane dip. The guy didn't stop. The guy in the alley ran the stop sign.
You have to assume that's going to happen. You have to assume that's going to happen.
Absolutely.
But also, Gary's so on tilt, he got sensitive. We were like, and we were doing a little bit of a bit, but at the same time, we were like, Gary, you could talk to him without looking at him. Yeah,
you don't have to
just
look
straight ahead and tell the same story.
I will tell people that.
And we both know what we look like.
Yeah, exactly.
To each other,
right?
You know,
you communicate that same message without staring into each other's eyes.
But we started. Connelly and I started doing a little bit, like Gary, fucking, and he got real sensitive.
Yeah, he did. And then to lose your car after that, Dylan is in disbelief.
Oh, I can't wait to see Gary. I'm going to give it to him.
I have to take my car home. My wife is taking it. I said, well, didn't you tell? He said, no. She said, and not only that, he gassed it up. He got the gas and then he lost it.
It's interesting.
He got the double whammy.
By the way, it's interesting to think what Gary told her. It was like a scene out of my pilot with Eddie Burns and Michael Imperioli and Michael Rapaport that never made it to the light of day. But the end of it was, Michael Rapaport wants to go to the Super Bowl in Dallas, but he doesn't want to ask his wife for permission. So he, in the morning, just tells her he's going out for bagels, and then his buddy's got a private plane, and he goes and gets on the plane. I think that's what Gary did. Meanwhile, Dylan's trading. Dylan's, are you still making trades?
What are you doing over there?
Tell us about the trade of the month.
I'm here like once a year. What's more important?
I made a trade. I'm upside down on it, and I just can't get out of it right now. I'm hoping that maybe
sell.
Little bit of a comeback. Let's see what's going on here.
Do you have the orange crop report, Dylan?
Dude, you got Bud Fox in the room.
Clarence Beeks.
You can access
not good.
Expertise,
yeah,
which is zero.
Charlie, we found out last week that Dylan, who's been in this grind for 6 months, which I know is not physically healthy for him, he's up $5,000 in six months.
No.
That's what you told us.
Yeah, but I was wrong. Remember, I corrected that. I was up 10.
Okay.
And now I'm up about 15.
All right. And you have to pay taxes on that. That's $7,500.
Today's going to be bad, so I don't know what's going to happen after today.
Well, ebbs and flows.
Well, hopefully, and everybody who's listening out there, Saturday night, we are live. We're getting Charlie Sheen live for the first time, and he's got other events that are coming up, so we'll tell you about that. But Charlie Sheen is live with us in Phoenix. We're going to talk Entourage, ramble on, overall careers, and just our friendships. It's going to be fun. There's a chance you get to meet Charlie. You can
We're going to show the trailer at the live show, which I think is a good thing. We're going to show the trailer for the live show audience.
So that's April 8th, stand up live.
Do I have permission to say that? Right?
The ramble on trailer. We're going to show it at the live show.
We can...
How do we prevent people from filming it and then disseminating it on their own? Or is it good if they do?
I mean, probably good, right? I mean, I don't know.
It would be a bad video version of it. I mean, I guess you could ask politely.
If it's not sold, I don't know if we should do that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll talk about that. But Connelly
gave it away.
Don't give it away.
Come see it.
You don't need to appreciate it.
What if we don't start it until everybody's literally sitting on their hands?
Yeah.
confiscate phones.
Or we confiscate the phones, but we want
it in the air. We're going to roll it.
By the way, did you just give me a slightly hard pat on the back, bro?
I thought it was light.
I don't know.
Real back slapper he is.
Yeah, he gave me a real.
I'm just proud of Connolly. I'm proud of Connolly. He's been, with the exception of telling Sean Avery and I to shut the fuck up, Gary Goldman just walked
in. I never told you guys to shut the fuck up.
But Connolly has been just a pleasure for the last 2 or 3 months.
He must not have smoked weed when he did
Gary walk here?
Yeah, Gary, are you there? Gary, get on the mic real quick. But first, let me finish this real quick. April 8th, Stand Up Live, Phoenix, 7 and 9:30. Then, before we get into Gary Goldman and the confiscation of his car by his wife, which we're going to talk about, look at his face. Okay, we want to talk about Charlie Sheen has other live events coming up with C. Thomas Howell. All right, tell us about the other events.
Yeah, well, there's us on the 8th this Saturday,
right?
Which I'm really looking forward to.
It's going to be fun.
But I got to be honest, I'm still feeling like a guest at this party.
I don't want to. How can we make you feel more at home?
No. It's just, I mean, you guys have been doing this, what, like 200 shows?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. You guys all work together. So until we're on the air, I won't feel like I'm actually, you know, living in the same house with you guys.
I understand. Well,
and, are you feeling like a guest star?
You're
going to
be running this house, bro.
Well, but that's not what, the attitude I want to bring coming in. Right. Yeah, that'll happen.
It's Doug. But Doug will always be running the show here.
Victory the Podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What's up, Victory listeners? Whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the name Your Price Tool from Progressive. The name Your Price Tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the name Your Price Tool for yourself and join the over 29 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No, I think the fact that Charlie brings in that humility is great. But we know, I'm not stupid. Just like with the show, people, like, whether you love us or not, I know you love Charlie and you want to see him live. And it's the one of the first times you've been, like, in a live show since your tour.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So, and again, Charlie's a different guy than he was 5 years ago. But
it's going to be a little more mellow.
Just a little bit.
But we don't know what's going to happen. And then you've got Major League, a live event about that. So
yeah,
tell us about
I don't want to screw it up. So I'm just going to read from the text that the lovely and talented Betsy Berg sent me.
Excellent.
The venue name is the MGM Northfield Park, Center Stage, Cleveland, Ohio. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com. And the venue box office, Thursdays, Fridays. It's Friday, April 28th. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. This is interesting. The casino. I didn't know I was going to be in a casino.
I might have to go with you, bro.
You want to go on this trip, don't you?
Man.
Yeah.
I got some buddies in Cleveland.
The casino has deemed Friday, April 28th as Major League Day, so staff will be wearing their Guardians and Major League gear that day. We encourage guests to join in the fun and celebrate Major League and the Guardians and baseball that day as well.
I'm in.
So
it's a screening of Major League, and then I come out and do a Q&A for an hour talking about making the movie and
that's awesome.
All
very
that,
cool.
Right? Yeah.
Very cool.
And it's nice. I'm sometimes referred to as one of Cleveland's favorite sons,
right?
You know, as that character, obviously, right? So I think it'll be a warm homecoming.
Are you allowed to wear the Yahoo hat still, or is that not allowed anymore?
Oh,
you know, the Cleveland Yahoo is the Indian
Chief,
is the logo.
Chief Wahoo,
Wahoo, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he had a name. Chief Wahoo.
Chief Wahoo.
Yeah. Wahoo.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to wear
I guess
that?
I say it a little weird. Wahoo.
I don't know. I don't know.
Probably a better idea not to wear the hat. But anyway, so that's
all. They're going to have
that's a 28th.
They're going to have a strong idea, strong opinions on that. And then, go ahead. So then the Tommy Howell
thing. And then you and I, not together, but separately in a week apart, we are going to City Winery in Nashville with our old pal, C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's put together a residency at this place, and he's booking his old buddies and
he's
talent.
He's a country singer.
He is,
So he doesn't
want you too, Connelly. He wants the two of us after Charlie.
You guys both asked me at the same time, so you both have been sitting on this intel, and nobody can fire
I was going to bring it up today.
I thought he would have mentioned it prior to
this. Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't know until recently that he wanted you.
He wanted to confirm. You're thinking, let me double check that.
But that's not until that's May 19th.
May 19th, Nashville.
In Nashville, so, at the City Winery with CTH. And he's put together this old school variety show that's an interview component and live music. I'm not going to dance. No.
Dylan, will you dance?
Fuck yeah, man. You know I got moves.
But you're supposed to be there on the 26th. Which is a week after me.
By the way, you just wait there for me, and I'll be there.
If enough shit goes down, I may have to stay there.
Nice.
So, but he wants you to join him for the 26th.
Can you do it, Kev?
I right now I'm feeling put on the spot.
Yeah. But by the way,
I mean, yeah.
Forget whether Connelly's put on the spot.
I'm feeling.
There is nothing I love better than when Kevin Dillon gets an official date and time, because he glazes over and like I know what his brain goes to, like
date was that again? Let me write this down somewhere.
So, anyway,
that's the extent of the promotional.
I did hear something about the 26th of May.
Oh, you did?
No, that's what Dylan's saying right now. You know what? That sounds familiar, Charlie.
So
check
anyway,
my notes.
Around the country, you got a little bit of time to see Charlie Sheen live. But with us in Phoenix, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do meet and greets. Dylan will sign your calf.
Do some Q&As. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about him. We are going to make Charlie family because he is. And it's interesting. A lot of the elements that come in are the organic way that Ramble On happened. Charlie was an inspiration. Again, there's not a single factual piece of information I had. But Charlie, in my mind, was an inspiration for some of the stuff Vince went through on the show. And he knows that. And did not see the show until last year or the year before when we met. And so we have a lot of good stuff and a lot of good Hollywood stories that we'll talk about. That'll be a lot of fun in Phoenix on the 8th. So let's get back to our pitch and Gary Goldman. What happened to the car that you left us like animals at a pitch meeting because Julie Goldman stole your car? What happened?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a great show. Charlie, great to see you here.
Good to see you. Thank you.
What happened? For the sake of entertainment?
No. Let's keep it factual, bro.
Well, factual
I don't need to dial it up for entertainment.
It was raining.
Purposes.
It was lightning.
Dramatic. All right. Setting wise, it was very dramatic.
Yeah, not really part of the story. We just want to know why your car.
Well, the rain did come into play. Fair enough.
Truth is, I wasn't expecting to drive anyone that morning. I was more than happy to get everyone in the SUV, to get everyone there.
I remember you offering very excitedly, I got a big SUV, everyone hop in.
And a commitment.
I didn't actually foresee. Usually I do foresee the outcome of further down the road. It's usually my job.
Yeah.
But I did not foresee having to pick y'all up as well, because Julie did need the car. And
she's how were they going to get home?
Yeah.
He sounds like Gary Cole in Office Space.
I'm going to have to go ahead and get back.
Wasn't there anything
Were they going to walk home? How were they supposed to get home, Gary?
They were going to walk.
I was hoping that Julie did not need the car. It was more of a shock that she needed the car.
But did you kick back on it at all?
But this isn't 1950. How about Ubers or I got to take Doug's car right now, or Kevin's is in the lot? Like,
How long were you able to stay in the fight before you realized, I'm just giving the car back?
Let's clarify. There was no fight.
Okay.
She wins immediately.
You didn't even try.
Immediately.
Not even an
attempt.
I
need the car. I needed to go to work right now. Because she is the one getting paid.
Gary, we got to get you a pair of balls, bro. Oh, my God.
We got to get you.
Stand up for yourself a little bit, man.
It would have been amazing us walking out of that meeting and, like, nobody's there to pick us up. Which, again, it's actually not that big of a deal. We could have gotten an Uber.
I was driving at high rates of speed. to be there for you guys when you got out of that meeting. Because I just,
you know what, it's funny.
They've not been happy sitting in the rain,
standing there like on the front porch. I mean, like, are you kidding?
You know what? It is funny though, because I did call Connolly and it did feel like there was some type of lull. I'm like, what did they go for lunch? I mean, we had a long meeting, so there was no reason that they weren't.
We were trying to be in the neighborhood, but I also wasn't going to stare at the building, right?
But, I can't say who and for obvious reasons, but if they're there to pick us up right afterwards, we don't have that special interaction with a certain someone.
At that particular pitch, we ran into someone that was hopefully very good for the show, but was a good meeting. All right. Moving on from this, Gary Goldman, you're not done. You're not done.
You're not out of this yet, bro.
Do you take accountability for almost killing Charlie and us on the drive there?
They're saying maybe it was good. Maybe it was good that you had to get
Gary, they said your driving was questionable in the rain.
He was staring at Charlie like he'd never seen him before.
Yeah, I got it.
Instead of looking at the road.
Yeah, Dale, I got to tell. I don't know if I told you guys a story, but I think it's airworthy. So when we're leaving, you know, there's always. I can only grill them to a certain extent about how the pitch meeting went. A little bit of silence, and Charlie's in the front, Doug's in the back. Gary was nowhere because he lost his car. And there was a bus in front of us. And on the back of the bus, there was a billboard. And the billboard said, "Your career's around the corner." Wow. Charlie goes, "Look at that. Your career's around the corner." I was like, "Well, mine's in Reseda." So we better get cracking. But Doug, I think you have that on video.
I do. But I'm remembering now. Did it say your career is around the corner or was around the corner? I'm just wondering.
Okay. Your career is.
I hope so I can stop day trading.
I think it said is.
It's just kind of hopefully funny. It was a sign. But anyway, all signs point to good things. So let's just get into other things, Charlie, and whatever, you know, like what I mean, what's. So people can think about what's Charlie like right now. What's going on with you? How is life in the world of Charlie Sheen?
Life is great. I mean, it's very consistent. You know, always been a fan of consistency, but there's a fine line that I always try to navigate. Is that I always want to be consistent without being predictable.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of nobility in the type of consistency that I've been called to be at this stage of my life. There's a lot of parenting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of responsibilities on that front.
You got 14-year-old twins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I got five kids.
Yeah.
And they all live within a pretty tight radius.
It's a big footprint.
But the way I look at it, you know, I've been given some time to spend with them and to mend some relationships and
it's good.
Rebuild some bridges, as it were, you know, and with my parents that live just across the road. So it's been very spiritually rewarding, but at the same time, I feel like I'm just in a really strong place to get back to work and do what I really want to be doing.
And speaking of work, and I don't know if we're allowed to specify what we're talking about. Are we allowed to talk? Charlie went back to work. Are we allowed to mention what?
Yeah, we can't talk about that yet. All right, I had to sign some papers.
All right, so we won't talk about what it is, but I like to think I had something to do with this, and I mean manifesting.
You did.
I wrote something in that's in the pitch, so the eight people that we pitched to are the only ones that know this information, and even they don't know it specifically. But Charlie got to work with someone that he has not worked with in a long time, and mending fences, and so forgetting what it is, how was the experience?
Hard. It's even hard to talk about that because I was specifically asked
not to.
The experience was amazing.
All right, good.
It was beyond what I had hoped it was going to be in that reunion setting.
All
Right, so we'll leave it at that, but I will say this.
Charlie's ready to go back to work, bro. Look at him. He's got the eye of the tiger. He's ready.
But Charlie went to work, and we will see that soon. We won't say what it is, but we'll see that in the next year. At some
yes.
Point.
Yes, okay. You will.
Great, yeah. Great, great. All right, what else? How about physically? Are you feeling
physically,
good?
Physically, yeah, I feel good.
Yeah?
I feel good, yeah. I got rid of clunky exercise gear, and I just committed to a rower.
Like the rowing machine.
I like the rowing machine, yeah, because it's I can't have a treadmill because the noise for the neighbors and all that stuff. Yeah. But I gotta do something where I can watch television while I'm doing it.
Right. Now with the rower, will you end up with a giant back and skinny legs like Dylan? Or
no, you get your legs too.
Yeah,
of course.
When you're rowing,
it's a full body workout. You're cool.
You will get the big back, but yeah, hopefully then, your legs will be better than mine.
And then
I'm all calves and no thighs.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in.
Oh,
I've
got calves.
I know you got calves.
I got calves.
I've seen those.
And they're not implants like yours.
I haven't been in shorts since 2.5, so you'll notice my legs are covered most of the time.
That is not true. I've seen you.
Yeah, I know. It was during that heat wave. Yeah. During that heat wave.
Very, very
but
hot.
But there's a device that I've incorporated kind of in and around the rowing thing, and it's going to sound, I don't know how it's going to sound. It's called ChopFit. Anyone? ChopFit?
No.
It's a rubber axe. It's a rubber axe that weighs like 8 pounds, and
is it for exercises?
It
like
will, yeah. You can build your own routine. You can follow their videos. This thing will kick your ass.
Chop axe.
Wow. Chop fit.
Chop fit.
Brother, yeah.
Chop fit.
I'm getting a chop fit.
I'm telling you, man. So, and I'm not. You know where to send that check to promote them. Right. I'm just.
It's kind of like when they take the sledgehammer to like a big truck tire.
It's like when Rodney hits a tire.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, there's stuff. I still love chopping wood.
I don't hit anything with it.
I don't think you're supposed
to. Hit the ground.
Yeah. It's just like it's the activities of what you would use.
Could you fend off a burglar with this?
Could you use it as a weapon?
It's not the weapon I want.
You would choose.
Yeah. It's not what I.
You'll shoot him.
I don't want to rely on a rubber axe if it's gone to shit.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear the physical fitness. I'm doing my best. I mean, I'm like, I've been no sugar added. I've taken Dylan's Cheetos and I've removed them.
By the way, we should.
Where are my Cheetos?
Charlie, have you tried the mush? We should send Charlie home with some mush. It's vegetarian.
I have tried the mush. I like mush a lot. Yeah.
Right. And mush is good. We got
overnight
a lot of mush.
I still got that mush on my counter. I got to get to it.
I can't tell you how many messages I'm getting. By the way, Connolly has been unable to secure a deal with the mush people that we love. Even if they don't give a deal, I love their product. Right. Connolly's been unable to secure a deal. If I tell you.
To get a deal anyway.
10
I'm
people.
No Bud Fox, I am not, clearly.
10 people a day text me on Instagram like strangers, like, what was that product? And so they're all trying it. So hopefully
maybe that'll help close the deal.
Yeah, I hope so. And you know.
Well, maybe you should stop giving free deals and then they don't have to, you know, they get it for free. Why would they pay?
All right.
Fair. Dylan, look at him. Smart salesman.
Try smush instead.
So, by the way, I forgot the last thing I'll mention about that pitch. I forgot to tell you. I woke up Charlie with a video of Wall Street when Michael Douglas calls him in the morning and says, Bud Fox, this is your wake-up call.
I will say that was a very pleasant way to start. It set the tone. That was a good tone setter for the day, Doug. All right, Doug's in a good mood. He's firing memes.
But what time did you send that?
God, I don't even remember. Early. 4 a.m. probably? I don't know. Why?
I think I was already up before it showed up.
Well, maybe it didn't go through, but I mean, it was my plan, by the way. I'm embarrassed to say it wasn't like off the cuff. I was thinking about it for a while. Wow. That and Glengarry, and then somebody else sent Glengarry. Like, I don't
Scotty?
Know. Maybe Sean Avery did, because we have Sean Avery. By the way, Sean Avery's become a de facto member of this family, so he's given some great speeches, and, you know, one of the pitches, like, they really all went well, but one didn't feel like it went well, even though we now know it did go well, because we've gotten good responses. Again, not like we're on the air, but good responses. But Avery talked me off a ledge after one meeting, and...
Yeah, that's all right. You know, I mean, you guys were... this is a big deal. What we're asking for. So I think we talked about it last time, but when you're going to pitch a TV show, a book, an article, whatever, they're optioning that in the room. All right, Kevin, that's different. This is a much bigger ask because we're coming in with a complete
product, and it's just gonna.
Did they get better as you went along? Each one, kind of, you got felt a little more comfortable, or were they great from the get go?
I mean, again, just being totally honest with you, having Charlie there felt made me a lot more comfortable. But right. I thought we, I really mean this, I thought we crushed it in every one. That doesn't mean anyone's gonna buy it, and I thought the people were very receptive, respectful, and it all went well. The only reason that one I didn't feel good was just like the end beat of the meeting. Like it was the end beat. I was just, it felt so good the whole time. I was waiting for, all right, so can you guys start shooting next week?
Okay. Yeah. And you got, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Doug said, I don't know, they're just, he goes, Charlie, how would you put it? And Charlie said, well, there was no confetti.
which I think has to make its way onto the show.
For sure.
But it's a great, reference.
Thank you.
But they don't owe anybody. They don't owe you confetti, bro. They owe you a deal.
But
confetti.
What is so interesting about this show, and I know people go, oh, Curb is like this, and Curb is genius on a level. We all know how great it is. This is so much more real than pushed comedy. And the things that we go through, which this is just one of many stories that are our lives every single day. And I think, like we did on Entourage, pulling back the curtain in a very realistic way, not being heightened and not being full, and showing that these are just regular people going through the same shit that everybody goes through. They just happen to be in a place where, you know, you might run into Charlie Sheen or you might run into Nick Cage, who, I don't know, I sent you that video, Charlie, but it's funny. One of our fans who...
that was classic.
Yeah, who like was getting interviewed. Dylan didn't see this, but Kev, you'll like this if you get your trade done. But Nick Cage was doing a Q&A at something, and one of our fans, which I hate myself that I keep forgetting his fucking name. I'm sorry. You know I love you. But
who, the fan?
Yeah. Yeah,
you just called him a fan, too, you know?
All right, our friend.
Friend of the show.
All right, friend of the show, whatever you want to call him. I don't even like the word fan either. But he got up and said to Nick Cage, he goes, yo, Doug Ellen says hello. And Nick Cage was like, who?
What does that mean?
And then he was like, I don't know who that is. Ramble on. And you know,
did he say that?
Like, what?
Yeah, Nick was like, help me out, brother.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Is that what he said?
I'm trying to tune or something? Who?
Yeah. But the thing that I realized after that is the show wasn't even named when we spoke to Nick. And Nick read the script, loved it. And if it was not for that he was doing Dracula, which I now saw the commercial that looks amazing, but he would have been in this pilot, and I believe he'll be on the show at some point, and we'll find out. But so anyway, it was great though to see.
Well, that story will make sense to him one day. Yeah. Right, he'll go, I remember that jerk off that stood up and asked me about like something, set me up for like, come on, think about what a bummer that is for Cage. I mean, I get the bit, but like.
Well, it's not a bummer for me because I feel like we're becoming.
Oh, you loved it.
No, we're becoming like this little small version of Howard Stern. We've got some people who go out
small,
there.
Very small, tiny version.
Tiny.
You got your Baba Booey's out there.
We do, and it's nice. So, all right, what else?
I got a question for these guys because let's talk a little sports. Can we dial it back to a little sports?
Yeah.
Kev, have you been watching baseball? Have you seen the
a little bit? Yeah.
You've seen this pitch clock? Have you seen the new?
I have not.
Charlie, baseball expert. Let's talk. What do you think of the new baseball rules?
I think they're amazing.
You love them.
I do.
I like it.
Yeah, and the players say so, too.
The players are enjoying it.
The players are enjoying it.
So they're not allowed to step out of the batter's box, right? They got to kind of stay
You get
there.
One timeout per at-bat, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Right? And then there's a 20-second pitch clock, and the – The batter has to be set by the eight count, yeah?
Correct, yeah.
Are the games going much quicker now?
The pitch clock is different without runners on versus runners on, right?
Okay,
Is it 20 and 15 or no?
I would be making things up. I don't know the details of it. The bases are bigger.
I know Scherzer's like really taking advantage of it, really kind of planning it out.
Kev, you can only throw to first base one time to check the runner.
Twice,
and then the third time's a balk.
Wow.
Right? So I don't know. It's like kind of a weird thing.
I love that.
I love to see guys get picked off for another pace of play adjustment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And there's nothing worse than six throws to first.
Right. And how often do guys get picked off?
Right.
Not that often.
Not that often. Pretty, I mean, unless you're Andy Pettit.
You got to really catch somebody slipping.
Yeah. And also, you want to see steals like the old days. Vince Coleman, Ricky Henderson. Those were the best days. I don't remember if any of you played Nintendo baseball back in the day, but Vince Coleman was just impossible to stop from stealing. And it was fun. And baseball, look, the reality is, and we were talking about this before we got on the show, the games become boring, and the ratings show it, and people are less interested.
Disagree with that, by the way. Disagree.
Well, it doesn't matter.
But
the ratings show it.
The shift is gone. Is done. Done. Too, right?
Yeah. It was amazing on opening day to see a line drive up the middle actually find center field.
Right.
Yep.
That
yep.
was like, oh, wow. It must be 1963.
And that's better. And Aaron Judge, I believe, had a first pitch home run, right? Was it first pitch, Gary Goldman? First pitch of the season?
I think it was the second pitch. Yeah. Crushed it. Wow.
And I love pitchers. I love the starting pitcher. It's like their moment in the sun, right? But you know, you could do without the 30-second trips around the mound.
Agreed.
Between pitches, agreed. Taking your hat off, flipping your hair. You're like, get on the mound, step off, 100%. Grab the rod.
You've had 5 days to get ready for this.
Get ready for this.
And now you're out there.
Throw the ball.
Thank you.
Walking around the mound in circles.
Are the games quicker, Charlie, too, now?
Right?
Or are they...
They
must be much shorter, that thing, right?
Like under 3 hours.
28 minutes shorter? Yeah. 26
wow,
minutes?
That's great. That's great for the sport.
It's enormous.
No,
and what about, did you watch the, because there's a big controversy with the NCAA women's basketball final and about, the LSU player doing the same motion that the Iowa player did 2 weeks earlier or a game earlier. I don't know if it was a game earlier. But did you see this?
I did,
I mean, how is this country so fucked up that everything becomes
I don't know what you're talking
about race. Basically, this superstar girl, and I'm embarrassed I don't know her name. She shoots like Steph Curry on Iowa.
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, can shoot from half court. So she did
But she's showboaty, Kev. Super showboaty. So,
but she's got the skills to back up 100%. Every inch of that boat.
Let me give you the full background, though.
Angel Reese.
Because I don't know if you know where this gesture came from. Do you know this or no?
It's a John Cena, right?
Okay, so it's not John Cena.
John Cena
made it really famous, but G-Unit did it first, and John Cena said that, so there's a whole background. Anyway, so Tony that's who actually did it.
So she hit a great shot and then did that,
by that? She drops 40 a night. She did something in the Final Four game where she was D-ing up the girl that was at the top of the key, and she literally waved her hand at her, waved her off, and said, I'm not even going to guard you, and walked away from her. The girl had a wide-open look and got nervous and passed it. So she does that. She's quick to whip the ball out of bounds. She got a little cocky, and then when they lost, LSU let her hear about it. That's all.
Angel Reese, is that that's her name?
Angel
she,
Reese,
she let her hear about
champion.
It. And now it's become this giant thing about, the
They're making it a racial issue when it's really just like girls competing at a high level and talking smack, and I love it. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. We all know how important mental health is and how important it is to take care of your mind. I mean, you only get one, right? Let's say you only had one car for your entire life. How well would you take care of that car? I mean, it's important to invest the time and care into keeping both your brain and your mind healthy. And there's plenty of ways to do it, and it's different for everybody. For me personally, I'm a big napper. Anybody that knows me will tell you, ask Zulai. I love my naps. It's just a way of closing my eyes, just shutting everything down. Even if I go to sleep or I don't, I like to close my eyes for 20 minutes. But all help is good help. So you can also go to BetterHelp Online Therapy. Well, a lot of people will say to me, listen, I'd love to do therapy, but it's so expensive, etc., etc. That's the best thing about BetterHelp Online Therapy. It's way more affordable. I mean, you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours at a very reasonable price. You can do it on video, phone. You can even do a live chat therapy session. You don't have to see anyone. You can turn the camera off if you want. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/victory. That's Better, H-E-L-P. .com/victory.
Yeah, but I mean, it was awesome.
And, it's awesome. And she's coming back, and now there's a rivalry. It's got a little blood going.
And LSU, I mean, I'm a Tulane guy, so I was happy to see Louisiana win. And I just think the controversy is so stupid. But then it goes back because this whole country is so fucked up. Then Jill Biden says we should invite Iowa to come to the White House too, even though they lost, which is the most absurd, ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
You got to imagine they just on principle wouldn't do that after losing, right?
Oh,
they can't. They can't.
I don't want to get in their heads because I don't care what they're thinking.
You can't lose and go to the White House.
But I don't care what they do or what they think. You don't invite them to go to the White House.
Either way,
it's the bigger problem.
Invite me. I'm not going without the ring.
Yeah, but and you know, it's my point is though is where this country is. Is we lost six Golden Globes. We lost six Golden Globes in a row. We took it like fucking.
There's silver medals,
gentlemen, and yeah, we didn't. You know, everybody
got certificates, Doug. They got the second place certificates.
Then no, we don't get to the White House,
Lucas. Tell it. That's a funny story about when Lucas was little, because Doug would get nominated for all these awards, and when you get the nomination, they send you a nice certificate. And Lucas was like, "Dad, how come we have so many certificates?
Where's the trophies?
Where are the trophies?" But I love my certificate. So,
you know,
but
Lucas,
yeah, you can't be second place in the White House.
Lucas, who played Jonah on the show, I was out at University of Arizona with my son.
Did you see this? Doug doing keg stands with his kid?
I did not do the keg stand. Lucas did a keg stand. I did not.
A what? What's a keg stand?
Keg stand is
a keg stand?
You know.
When you put your hands on the keg and they hold you upside down, you never did that?
Dylan, I've never done that.
No.
Dylan does the keg bathe where he just swims in a funnel.
Wait a second. You guys have never done a keg stand or have never heard of a keg stand?
I was not a beer drinker, dude.
We're human beings. We're not like savages like you.
I'll show you a picture.
I've done funnel shots.
Right. Yeah. This is crazy.
But then shotguns from a can where you snap the can open.
Please tell me the image looks familiar to you guys. The keg is on the ground.
About.
You grab the handles. Your friend holds you upside down. Your legs are in the air. You're holding the base of the keg, and they have the thing in your mouth, and people count. You never heard it. Doesn't
so you're
familiar?
Drinking no. upside down.
Yes.
That's weird. That's
got
weird.
It. Okay.
It's weird. Crazy.
By the way, Gary Goldman had a bunch of 20-year-old Tulane
Scotty, am I crazy?
Did you do a
What's
keg
the advantage of that? Do you get more alcohol?
Let's talk to Pete Scotty, who graduated from Arizona.
Wasn't it in Entourage, the scene where—
Gronkowski did it. Did Gronkowski do a keg stand?
No, you did it at the scene where Vince is on the roof. I'm pretty sure there was a keg stand.
I'm sure
Vince
there
does
was.
A keg stand.
No, Vince.
No, I was doing a funnel shot, a funnel beer.
No, Kev, you did the. You've done a keg stand.
No,
how shot is your
funnel.
Memory?
It was the funnel.
How bad is your memory? I think you did a keg
pretty
stand.
Pretty bad, bro. It's pretty
they
bad.
Held you. This guy's done a keg stand.
All right, so here's the real reality of why Sad. Is it done? Because it excites
it's
the crowd.
It's the crowd going, yeah. bro.
No, but I mean, it's the whole up. Idea behind like doing a funnel is you can drink a lot of beer fast. But what right. is, what, you know, what's great about being upside down?
Show
drinking.
A little athleticism.
Well, I think also having that much blood in your head while you're gobbling
well,
booze.
There's got to be something. It's got to be something.
It's a core exercise as
not,
well.
They're not doing it
it's
for no reason.
It's got to get me higher or I'm not doing it.
They're not doing it for no reason.
By the way, clearly, the crazy
Scotty,
thing
Scotty,
is.
Can we Google the upside of a keg stand?
There is no upside. Bigger hangover. That's
while he's Googling it, though, I just, like, Dylan, at the first season premiere, has me freaking over a bar with two bottles, like, in Roadhouse being poured down my throat. And now he doesn't understand what the point of a keg stand is.
Charlie.
That was, that was tequila.
Yeah, I was
We
bad.
Were pouring tequila into his mouth.
We were doing a USA Today photo shoot and interview the next day, and Doug, who's never
food
missed
poisoning.
Anything.
Yeah, said, right.
Doug, they said, Doug, Doug can't make it. He's got alcohol poisoning. I said,
I think he tried to say food poisoning in the beginning, and like, we're like, yeah, right.
I did have
Long
a large
Island,
dinner.
They call that a hangover, bro. Long Island, they call that a hangover.
All right, does anyone have any information on the origins of a keg stand or what the point is besides to excite the crowd?
I think it's got to have something to do with the blood rushing to your head. That's going to be my guess.
But either way, it's a
Gary's
fun
Gary's got
thing.
Something.
No, I got nothing, but I do remember doing upside down bong hits in college. Those
nice.
Were fun.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Well, either way, not
what
to
do you
be,
mean?
Not to go back on my health
upside
thing.
Down.
I no longer drink at all, by the way. And I'd
I don't
like
understand.
To, like to recommend the three of
he,
you guys.
He just
Gary,
likes to
Kevin, Kevin
go upside down thing, without drinking.
Notice how I'm being ignored, Charlie.
He likes to be upside down. Gary, listen, I apologize that we brought that car thing up, but it's part of the story. It's still unexplainable to me. I'd like to think you fought the fight at least because somebody had to get these guys.
Hey, Gary, I was kidding about the no balls thing. Too.
You got balls, bro.
Yeah, you got balls.
A lot. They're
you
huge.
Big ones.
They're
you
huge.
Balls,
actually, we think
they're a little
balls.
Hairy. You could shave them up a little
bit. Hey. Everything was going so well.
I didn't have to go that far.
Get your Manscaped 3.0 since you're doing free
editing.
You get the lawnmower on those.
What happened to our Manscaped? They were a big sponsor. What happened?
They you know, lost interest. We stopped doing it. Ad reads. Remember those first couple ad reads?
Yes, they were
good,
fun.
Good times.
All right. Okay, what else we got going? April 8th.
Well, someone saw me speaking Spanish. So maybe it had something to do with the.
Yeah, we're going to start.
But it was a movie, one of the movies I did, and they were like, "Your Spanish was terrible. You sounded terrible."
Not anymore. What kind
of Spanish accent?
Not anymore.
That? I don't know.
Charlie, we're going to be releasing the podcast in multiple languages a week.
Oh,
through
okay.
artificial intelligence. What do you think of that?
You sent me a.
Oh, I sent you
a
clip.
A test clip of it. Yeah.
Veritone is the stock.
Jesus Christ.
That's the stock.
That is the stock. They are
no, I was really impressed with it. The only thing I felt needed to be adjusted was the speed at which it was read back, because he sent me one with no explanation, and I'm early to meet my daughters for lunch, and so I play it, and it's playing through my car, and I'm like, I didn't know Doug was fluent. This is amazing. And then I'm about to write back, are you auditioning for a Latin-based company? Because it came with no
context.
No context,
you
none.
Just sent it, yeah.
And then he explained, this is a technology that we're exploring, and so will this podcast be?
Yeah. Well, it won't
you
be because
be
you're not
Hebrew
cloned.
Very soon.
You're not cloned. Yeah. So
once they get more samples of your voice, they'll
you
be
didn't
little...
say, I got it. Okay.
Right, so we can do all... How about this? I can do this podcast without these guys. I can write the podcast.
Someone might listen to that one.
No, they'll think it's you because it'll be your voice. So I could do all the voices and turn certain parts into Doug and certain parts
you
into
You want to see
Kevin.
Doug's litigious size come out? Try freaking writing my dialogue.
Can you imagine if I did Victor the podcast as Doug? Especially when we were in one of our dust-ups.
That would be hard.
Released
as long as we're on the topic, though. Charlie, what do you think about what's going on with this AI stuff? Have you flipped around a little bit with this ChatGPT or any of this stuff?
I don't have any immediate need for it in my daily life. I think it, like with anything that potentially available, I think there can be as much good as much badness that can come out of it.
I mean, have you seen a little bit of something? Like, they take Kanye's voice and they could make him rap anyone's song, sing anyone's song in Kanye's voice. It's crazy. And that's just one of like 10,000 things that's coming right now. It's
wild. Yeah, well, that's great. The world needs that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Wait, what does the world need?
Kanye singing every song.
My point is they can take Kevin Dillon and put you in, you know, anything.
But
they want.
I hear Charlie's point, though. It's pretty scary, this AI and
Absolutely.
What it could be. And Elon Musk and many others are.
They've been
all trying to get
them
to slow down.
They've been warning us about it for years. Yeah,
I mean,
but I think as long as the people being cloned or fabricated or manipulated, as long as they're still alive, then it's a harder sell. It's when people have passed when they start duplicating and all of that. Yeah.
Right.
Know?
But even when they're alive, you saw the Trump pictures of him like basically being arrested 3 weeks ago, which weren't real, that looked incredibly real.
You just can't
believe it. But you knew they were fake because if you have your finger on the pulse of like a daily news cycle, how did that not show up?
Yeah.
You know, everything's connected.
Of course. But when they start speaking and they start looking real-time activity, it's just the disinformation is very scary. I mean, we already see enough.
How about Russia took the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, and
they
made
AI'd
a computerized
him, right?
version of him saying, stand down, troops. We're not going to fight. We're going to...
Oh, yeah, they're
AI. I mean,
AI'd.
They tried to stop the war from happening by...
And how would you really know if you're like... You know, like I'm thinking about you guys in platoon, obviously different world, different time. But if you were in combat and whatever limited technology you have to communicate with whoever, and you start getting this kind of information that looks so how are you supposed to really? It's crazy what's coming.
The best example that I heard was, all right, so if you imagine, let's just call ChatGPT its first, you know, go at it. Think about your first computer. And where you've come now
from
your first computer,
better.
Like, you know, it's happening and it's happening kind of slow. And think about it, in 20 years, all that's going to be out of our control.
Mm.
It's just going to be what it's going to be.
One thing I read,
they won't need us anymore. They'll just make their own kind.
But people may not like know this, just like the simplicity of the fact they said, you know, our laptops are like 25 times more powerful than the entire computer system that sent them to the moon.
That's my point. Can you imagine what this thing's going to be capable of in 5, 6, 7 years?
It's really wild. All right, back to Hollywood just real quick, and then we're going to wrap it up. But Charlie
AI
Sheen,
is Hollywood.
I want to know, like, yeah, it is Hollywood. It will be Hollywood. But what... just for people who love you from later stuff, give me just three Charlie Sheen movies that people should go back to that you love, have fond memories of, and go, this is, if I had to leave something right now for you guys to see my best work and
look at you, Doug. Wow. That's a great question.
It's hard to speak to those films objectively,
yeah,
subjectively.
But even your best experiences.
Oh, best experience. Yeah. I mean, the most fun I had on a film was, and I think I've said this in here before, was The Three Musketeers.
Wow.
I mean, they turned us loose in Vienna, you know?
Right.
And we basically drank all night and stormed the castle the next day, you know, wearing tunics and being taken seriously wearing a freaking tunic. Yeah, that was the most fun. I think the, you know, there's, I don't know, I've done 60 something movies, whatever.
Unbelievable.
And there's like five I'd recommend that people watch. You
what
know?
Are they?
Well, the one that people still get such a thrill out of and enjoy so much, and that's not me, that's them.
Yep.
That's them, you know, expressing that. Is the one that I'm going to
Major
Cleveland to present on the 28th. It's an underdog story, and it's an underdog story wrapped into a love story, basically.
Yeah.
Hard were you throwing?
Obviously, if I could throw like that in the film, I'd have done it for a living, you know. I think I topped out like 84, 85.
Did they have to
speed up
the film?
Bro.
Yeah, 84, 85 is a lot. But did they
I
have
feel
to speed
like
it
you
up?
Could throw harder than that. No. I've had a catch with you, and you felt like you were throwing harder.
Dude, 85 miles an hour is a
when we were
fastball,
in the Philippines, you would throw the shit out of the ball. He could really.
Well, there was a time when the average Major League fastball was like 85.
I guess.
Yeah, those days are gone. Now it's like 97.
Right. Now you got to be almost able to touch. You got to be high 90s, but 85 for an actor?
Well, and I thought if I gave that to David Ward, that they could turn that into what it had to be for the movie, you know?
Right. It just looked like it was.
Did you have to do stuff to get your speed
like it was
up?
Coming in hot.
Yeah, no, I was training really hard. I was throwing a lot, working with Steve Yeager,
right?
Who doubled Behringer, you know? I'm just trying to think of. What movies would I tell my kids, hey, you got to watch these?
Is Wall Street not one of them?
Wall Street, I just had such a lousy experience, except working with my dad and with Michael Douglas. It was really difficult.
What about Platoon, man? That was pretty
Platoon is
crazy,
one that,
right?
Experience. Yeah, that was difficult.
Why was Wall Street so difficult?
Because Oliver was... was so influenced by he was feeling the pressure of, you know, following up Platoon instead of just making a movie, letting it stand on its own and giving it to the people. He was
the stress on the set.
He was harder on you on
he was harder on everybody.
Right.
Yeah. And those films are so different. One had nothing to do with the other, than a couple of the same people.
It's weird to think about, like, the stress would be on Platoon, and then you're sitting in a Wall Street office, and he's acting like there's bombs going off. And
right.
It's wild.
Yeah.
All right.
You're throwing 85 miles. Dylan, do you hear about the duck that Dylan threw at Dodger Stadium for our opening pitch?
What are you talking about, man?
He threw out the opening pitch, and it was disgraceful.
Is that when it was,
when
it was three?
It was four.
Yeah, there was
four of you.
We weren't even on the mound, so we played in front of
the mound. I didn't want to show you guys up.
Four guys.
Well, I would have fired it from the mound.
I threw a strike. Me and Connolly, actually, in truth, we both threw strikes.
We got it down the middle.
Adrian rolled one to the backstop.
Oh, he did? Wow. Yeah.
Jerry Ferraro threw a little high, right?
He caught it, though. He didn't have to dive on the ground.
But the problem with that is you got to worry about the catcher next to your guy.
It was very distracting.
On both sides,
right?
Yeah,
true that.
Yeah.
Dylan had a terrible wind-up.
What are you talking about? He's so full of it. I went into full wind-up mode. We found the picture of it. My leg
Dylan,
way up in the air.
Dylan cranked it back.
He didn't even, like, put anything but arm into it.
I snapped it, bro.
Dylan looked like Luis Tiant.
Nice.
It looked like you were shot putting it in there. I mean, it
that's
was like,
not true.
Dylan, do you
that's
think you broke true. 45 miles an hour?
Absolutely.
I
not.
Did. Conley did.
You did not. I don't know, man.
Well, it's on film. It's on video,
and
right?
We can't find it. I haven't been able
but there
to
is audio that surfaced. And as you know, you
people
walk
go,
up,
oh my God.
I saw a photo of
when
it.
When you shake the catcher's hand and he gives you the ball. Dylan shakes the guy's hand, and on the audio, you hear Dylan go, I thought that caught a piece of the corner.
Nice.
All right. It wasn't like so, right
hey,
down
look,
the middle.
If it caught a piece of the corner, it's a strike.
Yeah,
and you're
it's
in
a
business.
Strike.
Right. You were no George Bush after 9/11, that's for sure. But going from the mound, if I ever got a chance to do it again, I would do it from the mound. I'd like to take a crack at that from the mound.
I've done it from the mound. And
have
it's,
you?
Yeah.
Harder, right?
Well, I do it high because when you're throwing from the mound, it's very natural to kind of throw it high.
And you're not wearing cleats usually.
No
You're
cleats.
Not wearing spikes,
no,
yeah.
No. And the catcher's like, whatever you do, don't throw it in the dirt.
Right. Because
they don't want to be embarrassed.
So all you're thinking about
so I was like,
is
don't
the,
throw
dirt.
The dirt. So
yeah.
You end up throwing it high.
Right, better sure. for me to have to go up for it.
I didn't wind up that first time. I just wanted to like, all right, just throw a decent throw here.
Right.
The second time when we pitched one out together, me and Kevin, I winded up on that one. I
thought you caught a piece of the corner. Barely you caught a piece of the corner. I mean, you know, but we did. We put it in there.
Well, it's a difficult thing to
but
do.
But I'm going to play it safe. My mechanics are going to look good, and I'm going to throw a straight
good.
Pitch to the guy.
Well,
I'm
I'll tell you this. I hope and pray because I have an incredible scene. I won't say what it is with throwing out balls in Ramblon. So everybody.
Really?
Just be ready and make sure you don't age too rapidly. Get rid of the Cheetos. Eat more mush.
Stop doing the day trading.
Yep. And last
aging
thing,
me so
last
fast. You've got to get me a job before I fucking lose all my
you
money.
Hear this? He wants to stop day trading. He's asking for your help.
I'm trying.
I need help, bro. I need help.
I'm trying to help everybody and make this show go. But last thing, before we let Charlie go and we get ready for our Saturday night in Phoenix at Stand Up Live, we probably talked about it before, but how was your experience on this show? How did it compare to other things that you've done in your career? Ramble on. How was
on
this?
The pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, the experience for me started long before we ever got to the set. And so I knew that based on just the collaboration and how I was invited into that collaborative effort, you know, and how just how welcoming and how supportive and how excited everybody was for my input, you know. And you know, you haven't worked with me that much, but you got a good sample size those few days,
oh, yeah.
Right? I don't overstep, but I also don't, you know, I'm a fan of best idea in the room wins,
yeah.
You know, regardless yeah. where it comes from. I think you and I established something really early on that carried over onto the set. It was an experience I hadn't had in a long time. And it was over too quick. And it's been too long since we had it. And we have to have it again soon.
Oh, it's coming.
Because the people deserve what we're going to deliver. Yeah.
And
they
honestly,
really do.
And honestly, we all deserve it. Because I will say, and I've said it before, we'll wrap it up. This is, with the exception of a very small few people, this was such an incredible group, and everybody was there working for far less than they've ever worked for before. We were doing it like we were, 25 years old and trying to get our foot in the door, and it was amazing, fun, and the whole process has been wild, and I hope it pays off for all of us and all of our families, and I really want people to see this, so hopefully that's going to happen soon. But anyway, Saturday night. Phoenix Stand Up Live.
This Saturday. You're listening to this. It's Wednesday.
On
Saturday.
You can meet Kevin Dillon, Kevin Connolly, Charlie Sheen. If you care, you can meet me also. April.
Doug
they care.
Optional.
They
Doug
care,
Doug.
I'm totally optional. April 26th, Charlie Sheen. Is that the right?
28th.
28th, Cleveland.
Yes.
And
yes.
One more with C. Thomas Howell in Nashville.
May 19th.
All right. Ramble
yes.
on.
Yes.
Victory.
Oh, and can I just?
Yes.
Oh, did you already?
No.
No, we're rolling.
And chances are on the 8th, I still won't complete that list.
I was gonna
asked me to highlight.
Yeah. I was gonna say you didn't. He didn't even throw out a second one.
No.
You know what? He's humble.
No.
He got five. Name three.
Because
yeah.
by the
three
way,
movies,
suddenly
bro.
The other three just
there's got to be.
They left.
I can give you 15, but you know just
you're very kind.
You know, and I always love that Charlie pops up in one of my favorites, Ferris Bueller. When Charlie
oh,
shows
thank
up,
you.
And that
thank you.
Say that too. Great.
Yeah. That can't
great
be top three though.
No.
I'm gonna put my own Sheen list together.
People will ask me, and I'll just end with this. People have said, "Well, what's your favorite movie?" And I say, "I haven't made it yet."
Oh,
answer.
What's your favorite TV show?
I haven't made it yet.
No! Even better answer. I love it. All right, we'll be back, and we got Adrian recording tomorrow.
That's amazing.
Adrian,
give him my love, will you?
Yep.
By the way, I don't even know the guy.
Come by.
Yeah, is coming.
I mean,
we'd love to have you back. You're always.
You should come by.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Two days in a row?
Yeah.
You ought to be part of the team.
Oh, God. But, can I be a game time decision on that?
Yes,
exactly. Okay.
Absolutely.
Adrian is, I can't wait to watch you guys in this setting. I just can't. It's just going to be so funny to me. I can't wait.
The setting of outdoor nature?
First we're doing Victory, and then we're doing Adrian's podcast for Earth Speed, and we have to shoot outside. So we're on location scouts for Grenier's podcast.
By the way, why don't we take it to Chuck Sheen's house?
We made the deal with Grenier.
It's not enough room.
We're recording a podcast, and I'm just curious how you guys are going to hold up under the questioning. You know, it's going to be amazing.
I think we'll be all right, bro.
I think Kevin.
But right now, I got to pee so fucking bad. I got to get
it. I know I'm not supposed to say
Action
good
Park
calls
Media there. YouTube page. Subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe to that. But Kevin Dillon will fold under questioning. There's no question.